Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And welcome to Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is journalist, presenter, soon-to-be radio DJ. It's Angela Scanlon.
Hello.
Hi. Did you like that, soon-to-be?
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Thanks.
Soon-to-be, yeah, quite soon.
Happy, very, very soon.
Happy days. I was just saying you have a perfect voice for radio. It's like very soothing. It kind of lulls you in.
Thanks.
It's good.
Well, me and my sister and my brother, we had a radio show actually when we were younger called Hangar 17. It used to start with, hello and welcome to Hangar 17, where the music is hot.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, so
and
I
was
it,
on it talk or just music?
We did everything. Mario was a weatherman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and my sister used to do dance routines. Yeah, I know.
On radio, it's an unusual choice.
Yeah, you would think it wouldn't work. But
yeah, it did, clearly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was your role?
I just did all the links and the general greatness. I think I maybe sang a few songs.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
What a family.
It was a hit in our house.
Okay.
With
you're 17. What's the space?
I mean, if anyone nicks that now, I'm coming after you. Yeah. But you come from a big family as well, don't you?
I do. Well, I mean, yeah, big-ish. Four sisters. No, four sisters. So four girls, sorry.
Okay.
So I'm one of four.
Yeah, you're one of them.
I'm one of them. Yeah, so family of six, which is, you know, punchy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's madhouse.
Where are you in that order?
Second from the top. So Christine's the eldest.
You've got responsibilities.
Then there's me. Yeah, you would think. And then, yeah, Siobhan and Annette. So, and we're all quite, close together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are the age gaps?
So 36, 5, 2 and 1. Yeah, there was Irish twins there at the end. 10 and a half months between them. Don't even go there. Don't think about it. Thanks.
So how old would you have been when you would have been three when you're...
Three-ish. Yeah, okay. yeah. But at least I had a bit of time. Poor Siobhan. Annette arrived when she was still 10 months. She's still a baby. Anyway, we're fine-ish.
Are you all really close?
We're all really close. Actually, my sisters, two of them, have just arrived from Ireland today to meet Ruby. And that's how I'm here. So they're babysitting.
And you look amazing. Let's say you've got, Ruby's almost 6 months.
She will be
six weeks tomorrow?
On Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so this is will be the longest that I've been away.
How are you feeling?
I feel okay, actually. I was like, bye, girl. We had a cheese toasty. They brought her little Irish socks.
Aww.
And I waved them off. I put the sling on Annette and my sister, eldest sister Christine, has three kids and another one on the way. So
she's busy.
She's got it down. You know what I mean? I feel like Ruby's in safe hands, to be fair. Safer than when she's with me, probably.
But it's still weird, I think, when you leave them.
It is. But I'm kind of trying to... I'm trying to push myself to do that.
Yeah.
So that I don't get too obsessed and that she doesn't get too obsessed. I mean, maybe that's wishful thinking. But yeah, I think social is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
I mean, yeah, within reason.
Do you feel like you are easily slip into being you mode, or are you kind of still a bit I feel like I should be doing loads of stuff right now?
I mean, I have my pump in the bag. I have nappies in the bag. I don't know why.
I love this.
I'm like, I think I'll be fine. I think. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of prepared.
Okay.
Even though she's not here. But yeah, pumping I do on the fly. It's like there's no waste. wasted time. That's the one thing I have found, is that I am more productive than I've ever been. Even though, I mean, I don't get a lot done in the day bar feeding her and, you know, making toast or whatever.
I thought you meant to be productive. You're just pumping whenever you can.
Oh, no, no. But I mean, that's another whole other conversation, the old supply, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, so, yeah, I mean, how long do you got?
We have a long time.
Okay, great.
And don't worry, if you waffle on too much, I can edit you.
Okay,
fine. It's all right.
You
it's
may
fine.
But we talked about doing this ages ago. And
well, before
like,
you had Ruby, I was like, look, I think this could be great. Because you have listened.
Yes.
You know, you were listening while
I was
you were
preparing
pregnant.
Myself. So I've listened to Emma. I've since listened to Davina, Joe Elfin, Emma Freud more recently, Kimberly. The whole run of them, actually. Ant Middleton threw in a little curveball there.
I know. Did you like that one?
Great. And Tom, obviously. I had, and I had been listening and educating myself / freaking myself out. I kind of said, let's see how we go. Because I was very, I can be quite anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need to keep that in check. And so I was, one of the things that I was most anxious about in the run up to having a baby was how anxious I would be after I had a baby, which really paints a perfect picture of me. Let's worry about the worry that may happen when, you know. So, yeah, that I kind of was protecting myself from potential commitments that I would sign up for when I'm high, and that not that way, sorry, but like when I feel full of energy and I can totally do this, and then I commit to all these things, and then I think, oh my god, I don't want to let people down, or am I going to be mentally okay?
But it's like we said, you just never know. You can't really prepare yourself, because you don't know how you're going to be, you don't know how Ruby's going to be, you don't know what's going to be happening.
And first baby, I literally had no idea. No idea. So, but actually afterwards, I remember thinking, I would love to have listened to somebody who was right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And because even 6 weeks on, that first week feels so far away. So I imagine someone who has, you know, kids who are a bit older, you do look back at it in a different way. And so I thought, I'm on lots of WhatsApp groups. Tons of my friends are either brand new mums or expecting. And I was like, it would be really nice to have listened to somebody who was right in that kind of moment. So I'm sacrificing myself, guys.
I did say to you, look, we'll do whatever you need. There's no pressure.
We can do it in your pajamas. Like,
no makeup.
Perfect.
We can do whatever you want to make you comfortable.
I managed to put on a jumper to hide my pajamas, which have milk, I think, on them. Not sure. Oh, I haven't identified it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's milk.
I mean, that is just you for the next 6 months, I think, constantly covered in some sort of dried liquid.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of getting used to it. And weirdly, it doesn't offend me as much as I thought it would.
It doesn't, actually.
No, it's weird. I mean, she pooed on me in the bath the other day. I mean, that's just like, don't imagine it. Or do.
I'm
whatever
it.
You're into.
I'm seeing it right now.
It was horrendous. And, you know, when she,
so in that moment, because I always find it fascinating in that moment what you do, because there's always the initial,
I laughed, actually, because in my mind I thought, oh, we'll get up and I can feed her in the bath and we'll both be.
Like something you would see on Instagram or in a
exactly,
film.
While somebody's reading to you on the toilet. And so I thought, oh, this is
was
lovely.
Roy reading?
He was gone. So I was trying to double job. So I was like, I can wash myself, I can feed her and wash her. Three.
That's multitasking. You're such a woman.
That's what I thought. I was like, boom. I also ate like a bar for my breakfast in the bath. So there was a lot going on in that bath. And I just laughed. And then I drained the water.
Yeah.
And I kept feeding her while I was trying to like pour little bits of water on her just to keep her
you
okay.
Get cold, you're fine, you're fine.
Yeah. And then I refilled the bath and we stayed in for a little while longer. But I mean, there was definitely a little bit of stuff floating around.
Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that is love that I've never known before. Because I'm pretty sure if somebody else pooed on me in the bath, I wouldn't be okay with that.
Do you mean the boy's never done it? It's never gone down
no,
that
way? No, I mean, he's broached the subject, but he knew by my face. It's not my thing, G, okay?
Each their own, Adeline. Each their own.
Exactly. But yeah, that was interesting. And it's like that angelic little face. And then what comes out is anything but angelic.
Of every area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my brother once looked after Buzz. So he was the first little baby in the family. And he literally, in one sitting, got weed, pooed and puked on.
Oh, wow. Triple whammy.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Yeah.
What a hero.
Yeah, I think just when he thought he was safe, he got weed on. Yeah.
That's when you think you're safe. I had that in the first week. I had this moment where obviously you think she's smiling at you in week one.
But I don't care. That's the promise of what's to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like, I don't care if that's wind. I mean, obviously I'll sort it out if it's wind, that's fine. But it's giving you, it's showing
it's
you what that smile's
going
to look like. I love it.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Like, get that wind.
Ridiculous. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm like, I know you're trying to develop a little fart on, but it's the cutest thing. But yeah, she looked at me and it was like, she's really quite an intense little face and eyes. And yeah, and then boom, we were doing skin to skin and suddenly it got ugly. And I thought, oh my God, again, one of those picture perfect, beautiful moments ruined by bodily function.
But people don't really share that stuff.
No.
So when it happens, it's a bit like, oh.
Totally. Yeah. Well, because maybe nobody really wants to hear about that, do they? But yeah, I think it's refreshing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I think the more people talk about it, the less out of their depth people will feel when they're going through it.
When it happens. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel that way about breastfeeding, actually. Mm. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know whether I was so focused on the whole labour thing, and I'd spoken to loads of people and they're like, you know, inspiring birth stories. I literally kind of shut down anything that was negative, and I was kind of, you know, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. I was quite focused on that. And then I realised that nobody really had said anything to me about breastfeeding, and I was completely caught off guard with just how difficult that whole process is in every way, shape and form, physically, emotionally, mentally, everything. And the relentlessness of it. Mm. I was like, okay, with the labour, once you start, there's an end in sight, however long that might be.
Yeah.
But with breastfeeding, it was like, oh, wow, it could be an hour and a half, could be 10 minutes, but it's like imminent. So there was kind of no break from that. And yeah, that I wish people had told me about. Mm. But maybe they don't, for good reason.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because you get the whole breast is best thing.
Yeah.
Rammed down your throats. And I think maybe there is a worry that, I don't think from general other women, because I think we all share now.
Yeah.
But I think maybe if it is shared, how difficult it can be, it would instantly put people off.
Yeah, maybe. But on another level, everyone kept saying, oh, if it's hurting, the latch is wrong. If it's hurting, the latch is wrong.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure it's still sore anyway. Whereas if I had been told it's going to be sore for a month or 6 weeks, mm-hmm. or still, as is the case, then I could mentally prepare for that. In my mind, it was going to be this, you know, the little videos of a baby mooching down on your chest and finding your nipple and miraculously knowing what to do. And then you just lie there and snooze while they feed themselves.
Well, and that whole thing about they're going to look adoringly into your eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That bond that's going to get created there. I mean, their eyes are always shut.
Yeah.
Can't even see their face.
Yeah, or like looking at the wall. I'm like, you over here. Yeah. But I think if you knew there was an expectation that actually it's going to last this amount of time, and of course there is no length, and some people it works really well for, and it's really easy, not easy, but yeah, it's fine. I mean, I had a nipple infection, I had mastitis, she had a tongue tie, so there was a whole load of things that literally kind of...
Did you have to get a tongue snip?
Yeah.
Oh, how old was she?
She was... It was 3 weeks by the time we had figured that out. Yeah. And I couldn't look.
Oh.
I couldn't watch. So they checked, because it wasn't 100% positive that she had one. She had a posterior tongue tie, which is less easy to determine, I suppose. Yeah. But still affects the latch, which can obviously lead to those issues. And so at this point, I was like, you know what, I'm really struggling and I kind of can't really take much more of this. Let's try it and see if it helps. And I couldn't watch. And it's really quite... I mean, they were brilliant, but yeah, they essentially like hold her little tongue back and then the doctor snips it with the scissors. It's quite medieval looking. And then
they have to stitch or anything?
No, no, no. Little gauze goes in and then they say, pop her straight on your boob, and that is the best antibiotic you'll ever give her. And I was like, on you go.
Well, they say that, don't they, with eye infections and things like that. A little bit of breast milk, yeah. So I've been there on many occasions trying to squirt.
No way.
Probably put it in a bottle first, but yeah.
Really? I do love when it squirts at them, though. It's like, boom, boom. It's kind of superwoman-esque. Yeah, it feels amazing. I think that was because I had supply issues. I was down in lactation cookies like they were going out of fashion.
Did they work?
Do you know what? They did.
I've never had them. I think they sort of became a thing once I'd already had Buddy.
Okay.
I think I'd only heard about them once I was already sort of feeding. So I never, ever had any.
Oh, yeah. I think
they
definitely were.
Is it essentially just sitting down eating cookies?
I mean,
maybe
they're delicious.
Maybe it's just the oxytocin that they bring you because you're feeling great.
Yeah. But there is brewer's yeast in them, which is apparently, you can get it in tablet form, but I mean, put it in a cookie. Yeah. It's better, right? And then fenugreek, flaxseed, oats. Which are all, you know, you can eat them all individually, obviously, to try and help. So I've been milling the porridge into me. Expressing, I just recently rented a hospital grade pump.
I did that.
Did
the
you?
The best thing I ever
Is
did.
It? Okay, I haven't
best
hooked
thing
it up
I ever
yet,
did.
So tonight.
It was because I got, like, so they get, it's what you use in hospital. And then when you get home, it's like your pump's not quite up to the same standard.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Is it?
I literally travelled around with it.
No, because it's like a little briefcase.
Yeah.
And does it happen much quicker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was great. I had it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just to kind of really get my body used to that.
Okay.
And then I was like, right, I'm ready to downgrade.
Okay. Back
basics. To my other one.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
There's something so thrilling about hearing those little drops.
I mean, watch.
Yeah.
All the time. I just, yeah.
Although I have, so the boob that I had the infection in, so not mastitis, I actually had a nipple infection.
And so is that from where it got cut?
Yeah, chapped. And then she was on. And I mean, I don't know. All I know is it was, you know, green. Yeah. And then
did they have to do anything to it?
I had to take antibiotics, which I really didn't
want to do. Did
you
have to feed through it?
Yeah.
Oh,
but I think only in hindsight do I realise I was obviously dodging this one because my milk supply on the right hand side is much lower and my left boob is bigger now. And so when I fill them up, I have a double pump with a hands-free bra. Oh, baby, I got all the
hands-free bra this
Honestly,
time.
I'm going to get it for you. It is the best gift in the world. And I feel like Madonna floating around with my little things coming out. So, but yeah, I make twice as much on the left side as I do.
I think
right.
Every time, actually, it's been a different boob both times, but generally I go through phases where one gives more than the other.
Yeah. Okay. So it's relatively normal.
And I wonder if that's because maybe each baby's preferred
they do.
Being in different positions.
I think so.
So they go for one more.
Apparently. But like, you know, I Google every 10 minutes.
Of
I'm like,
you do.
completely contradictory fact. Well, Roy says, oh, Google, they're sitting there. Oh, Ruby's got reflux today. Yeah, Ruby. Maybe touch colic this morning. Like, oh,
Sandra from Wigan says.
Yeah. And Google, I mean, great, because in a way you feel like, oh, other people have been here this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I always find comfort as soon as you start typing a question and it gets completed for you. And you're like, all right.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm
good. I'm good.
Yeah. But it is quite, it's quite stressful. I mean, one of my low moments was walking down our local street weeping as I recorded an audio message. I mean, that's all I do now. I can't text. And so
I'm loving an audio.
Oh, I love them. And also it feels proper old school, like you're having an intimate phone conversation.
Like you're in a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's much quicker, although I tend to talk quite a lot. So it's like 3-minute voice memos.
Still going under.
Come on, seriously. But yeah, I thought I had ruined myself and that my supply had dried up. I was like, oh my God, she's like, I'm not going to be able to feed her. And the massive weight of responsibility and guilt and fear and everything was really caught me by surprise. And I was, you know, always kind of do what works for you. The most important thing is that your head is okay and that she's getting fed one way or the other. And then I just had this massive sense of, oh my God, what if I can't do this? You know, and then my sister fed 3 babies amazingly. And so for me looking on, I was like, we've got this. It's totally fine. And yeah, the realities of it were much different. Now it's better. And there were glimpses of it as I went along where I would think, oh, I see when it works, it's really quite magic. And yeah. that's what I was kind of holding on for. And I had introduced nipple shape. I mean, literally everything that I probably could have done wrong.
But I don't think it's wrong because it's got you to the point now where,
true.
You know, I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think you just have to try things and see what works for you.
Yeah.
Because I had nipple shields and, you know, whatever else. And,
yeah.
And actually, I think the kindest thing that midwife said to me was, it will take you 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks to you know, for you both to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It took about 3 months, really.
Yeah.
And then suddenly one day something happened. His mouth had completely changed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, she's starting to now kind of like, you know, bite.
What is that?
Sorry. Like, find me. You know, before I was like, put the lights on. I need to see exactly where she's going. And it was all very, not mechanical, but it didn't feel, you know, this idea of it being super natural, instinctive.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case for me. So I was very studiously mm-hmm. placing her and whatever. And now it feels like she's gone. She's chomping a bit more.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Did you have an idea of what your birth plan was going to be?
I did. My ideal was like in a water bath.
Okay.
Not at home. We've got quite a bit of stairs and not a lot of room.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, okay, in hospital, but in a water bath, gas and air, music. See what happens.
Yeah.
Was the idea. Because I was kind of like, I used to dance and I remember thinking, I know when I was taking a lot of ibuprofen, I danced for 6 months on a stressed fracture. So I think if I put painkillers in, then I can't feel what my body's experiencing.
That's true. Yep.
So I thought if I go down the epidural route, then maybe I'm going to, you know, tear myself. And so this was the logic in my head. And I kept saying, OK, that's my plan. And then I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to totally go, give me the drugs. Give me all the drugs. So anyway, as it happened, by the time I got to the hospital, I was 8 centimetres dilated. And so
did you purposely wait? Did you wait at home? Were you kind of like, I'm fine, I'm relaxed?
Yeah, I didn't think that I was in labour.
What?
I thought, I think that there's twinges is what
Ruby
I was
saying. She was early, wasn't she?
She was 3 days early, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, not that much.
Should have been on watch.
Yeah, I know. But I just kind of thought, oh, I don't want to be dramatic. I'm mortified if I go in here and they're like, dude, head off home and stop being such a precious little thing. And so, yeah, I waited until quite late and they were
free.
So
was it? Just like little twinges?
It was twinges all the way through that day. But in my mind, that wasn't contractions. That was just like, oh. You
body
know,
getting ready.
Something happening, yeah. And then, yeah, I was at home, had a bath, went to bed, watched a movie, Just Married, Brittany
nice.
Murphy and Ashton.
Nice.
Old school. And then I started, I was like, Roy was timing them and they were 3.5 minutes apart. And I thought, yeah, that feels quite, and he was, that was his job to do the timing thing. And so I thought, I don't know if that's, you know, when do we go? And so I said, I'm going to get the TENS machine, actually. I think maybe they're getting a bit stronger. And he said, I think maybe we should try and get some sleep. We turned off the lights and then...
Did you put the TENS machine on and sleep?
Yeah, put the TENS machine on and sleep. I mean, I think it was really clear we had no plan as such. And so, yeah, then... I put the lights back on and was like, they're pretty strong now. Maybe we should ring Stephanie.
As soon as you lie down, actually.
It's like, yeah, no, I think the sleep is not going to happen. And so, yeah, rang Stephanie, the midwife, and she was like, how are you? And I said, yeah, they're a bit intense now. I mean, I can still talk through them. And then one came on and I was like, but it's a bit harder now. And she said, yeah, I think maybe just pack your bag and pop in. And so I said, cool, right, we'll see in an hour or so. We got a taxi in and they were getting kind of, you know, stronger.
Yeah.
And then we arrived and she did like that internal thing.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, I actually thought I was going to die. I was like, she gave me gas and air and went for it. And I was like, what the hell are you looking for up there? I was like, why is your elbow in my vagina? What is happening? I had not had any of that, okay? And I was like, what exactly are you hoping to find up there? I jumped off the bed and I thought, oh, sweet mother. Yeah, it really caught me by surprise, not gonna lie. And then she like flipped her little gloves off and she came and she was kind of smiling smugly. And I thought, I'm delighted you're happy. And she said, how many centimetres do you think you're dilated? And I was like, I mean, with respect, not madly keen on a game right now. So can you just spit it out? And so she was like, you're 8 centimetres. And I said, oh, that's okay. That's good. That's very good. And I was like, okay. Oh my God. So what happens now? What happens now? And she said, well, I don't know about you, but we're going to have a baby. And I was like, Roy, pass me my face stone. Pass me my face stone.
What does your face stone do?
I mean, I think I was drunk on the thing. And I had been told by Davina, actually, loose jaw, loose cervix. So I was like, quick, give me the jade stone. I need to massage my jaw with it. So anyway, I mean, I didn't last very long with the jade stone. But
was it just annoying having a stone in your face?
Yeah, or? It was like I was, you know, just being aware of my jaw clenching. And then, yeah, we went downstairs, filled up the bath because it had all happened really quickly. And so it took around an hour to fill up the bath. And meanwhile, I was like hanging over a bed, you know, I had a few crystals. I was kind of reading these little affirmation cards that someone had given me.
Were you still on the gas and air at that point?
No. Yes. Was I on the gas and air? No, I still had the TENS machine on at this point. Yeah, so we held off on the gas machine for a little while. And then, yeah, I got into the pool and I had all these plans. I had a lovely striped little bikini with me. I mean, as if I'm wearing the bikini. She's like, do you want to close the door? I was like, frankly, I don't care. If you're blushing, then you need to leave, not me. So I was like, okay, just get out. And yeah, got into the bath. And then 3.5 hours later, maybe a little less, she was born.
Yeah, in the pool.
Actually, things started to slow down a little bit when I was in the pool. So I got out and was on that little stool thingy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, that was, I mean, so honestly, I was completely shell-shocked. You know, you see these beautiful pictures of people weeping with joy. I think the whole thing, I mean, I arrived in the hospital without a change of clothes, without clothes to go home on. We had one baby grow for Ruby. We hadn't really got anything. Because I didn't think, in my mind, this wasn't happening just yet.
Did you not have a hospital bag?
It was a bag.
Did you just take it?
There was a face stone in it, G. I'm all about the important
Davina
things
were present.
Davina said,
I need a face stone. Don't worry about clothes to go home in. It's all right.
We didn't have nappies. So, yeah, in my mind, this wasn't it. This was me probably being a bit dramatic. We'll check how it goes. And then it'll be a few days before we're back in. So I have, you know, Monday, Tuesday to get myself together. And so, yeah, I was shell shocked. So after she came out and they handed her to me and Roy was behind me and she like looked up their giant big eyes and I was like, oh my God, how do I have a baby? I was eating an Indian curry 6 hours ago. Well, nine. And so, yeah, and I was kind of completely emotionless, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really weird. I was totally shell-shocked is the only way that I can describe it. I think because it had been so quick, really. So in my mind, from the time I was in the bath, from the time I was eating my takeaway, watching the movie, even with the TENS machine, even when we came in, I was like, this is not me having labour or in labour. Yeah. So the fact that then suddenly the baby was here, I hadn't had my full night's sleep that I had planned. We were supposed to be having brunch tomorrow. And the realisation that, wow, this is the forever bit has started. Yeah. And all I've really prepared for is the breathing in a bath. And then...
And your stone.
And my stone. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it was nuts. And she like... And also, I thought I was having a boy.
That's a really weird moment, isn't it?
Really, really weird. Mental. Because I was like, oh, my God. And I had the name Ruby for years, ages before. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a girl. Is she Ruby? I don't even know if she is. And yeah, the realization that actually, because I'm one of four girls,
of course,
deep down, I really wanted a girl. And I think
really?
I was kind of
letting yourself go, feel like you were having
a boy.
Yeah.
So that when the boy came out, I was as happy about that as I would have been about a girl. And then when she came out, I was like, secretly, yes. Not, but I was surprised by how Roy said stoic. I was like, you know, quite numb, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did that feeling last?
So that was like 3:30, lasted the full, like 36 hours, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. And he was quite emotional, and I was terrified, actually.
Because I think you plan so much for that labour, you don't plan anything past it.
No. I just said it.
And nothing can prepare you for that feeling of when you first got that baby in your arms. Like, and I'm the same, actually, with Buzz. I wasn't hit with this overwhelming feeling of
elation and love.
Yeah,
and
it joy. Was literally, it was a shell shock. Yeah. Like, and it's just, you get that weight of responsibility straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, yeah, I just wasn't prepared for it. And I don't think, in truth, I was actually prepared for the labour. I kind of thought, you know what? I've run a half marathon before. I've done, you know.
I'm a strong woman.
I've got this. Yeah. And I'm really glad, you know, I had spoken to friends about gentle birthing and hypnobirthing. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done it in a formal capacity, but I practice mindfulness and I do a bit of meditation. Yeah. I was kind of like, it's the same thing. And actually, my mind really, like, that's the key to it. Yeah. It's kind of, there were a couple of points where I could feel my head getting the better of me, where I was like, I can't do this, where I literally had to stop and have a chat with myself and go, you need to get your shit together.
And do a bit of breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing what breathing can do.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But yeah, it was, the kind of how animalistic it is really shocked me, actually. Really shocked me. But also kind of amazing.
It's literally like something else takes over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bonkers. I was like, it's kind of like puking, but out your other end.
Yeah.
Like that retching, uncontrollable retching.
It totally is. Yeah. I've never even thought of it in that way.
Mm. Yeah.
So emotionally, how have you been feeling?
It's funny. Anytime I speak to anyone, they're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, actually, okay. I feel surprised at myself. Okay, so I did do the melter. Again, I had been prepared. I'm a very emotional person. Like I said, there's, you know, anxiety that I need to keep in check. I'm very up and down. And so, you know, which I kind of embrace or attempt to embrace. So those, you know, highs allow me to do a lot of things and fill me with confidence and ideas and energy and all those things. And then there's, you know, the come down of that. You will understand that. And so, yeah, I was preparing myself for and fearful of postnatal, actually. And I feel like maybe I had a touch of it before I had Ruby. It was kind of this slowing down, this kind of forced slowing down that I haven't done in a very long time. And I kind of thought, oh my God, I'm so, my work is my identity. And the idea of kind of taking myself out of that was quite terrifying. And so, yeah, I was fearful. But, and yeah, like I said, I had those baby blues days where, I mean, I wept like I have never cried before. And it was glorious. I mean, terrifying and hysterical at points. Because I would, you know, I would look at her. I would, you know, watch World's Most Extraordinary House. It's like, oh my God, crying. I'd look at her head and go, I love her so much. Aww. I love her so much. And weep. I went into the kitchen one day and we have those little Kilner jars and there's flax seeds, which clearly I'm into at the moment. And I had a little scoop that I could take the flax seeds out with, because otherwise they're a bit messy, you know. And the scoop was nowhere to be found.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
And I said to Roy, where's the scoop for the flax seeds? I can't find it. And then I realised, and I just could not stop laughing. I was like, am I crying over a scoop of flax seeds? He's like, it's okay, babe. It's okay. Don't worry about it. He's like, do you need a little hug? I was like, yeah. So actually it became kind of a slight source of comedy. But it was like a gasket opening. I mean, it was quite intense.
You know the score. You're going to finish three sentences.
Okay.
Okay. Being a mum means?
Being a mum means... I was going to say getting pooed on in the bath, but hopefully that was a one-hit wonder. Being a mum means not thinking about myself. I realised I was quite involved, self-involved. And actually, it's really kind of lovely to not that I'm totally going to give up on myself. Next time you see me, I'll be wearing a black bag. I'll be like, oh, gee, the baby's fabulous, but I'm in shit. But yeah, it's been quite lovely to have this amazing little being that you've created and to not really have to think about myself.
Sense.
A little bit. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah.
It's quite new.
Since having children,
I love women more than I ever thought possible. I admire, like even my own mum, my granny had 14 children, my, you know, friends who have babies, my sister has 3 under 6 and another one on the way. I'm like, I am just in awe of women in a way that I really wasn't. And I guess it's a compliment to them that to me it looked so easy.
Yeah.
Women make it look easy and it's really not. But I just have this newfound love and adoration and respect for women. Yeah.
And I'm happy when?
I'm happy when my nipples aren't bleeding. No, sorry. I'm in the thick
when
of
I've
it.
When I've got that jade stone up at my jaw.
I am happy when I got Ruby smiled for the first time yesterday. And so that was kind of, everyone talked about it and they were like, you know what? It'll be worth it when you get that little smile. And it's like a little sideways, kind of slightly wry little smile. And yeah, that was quite cool. Yeah, happy when she's happy, weirdly.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I kind of, when she has that little drunk milk head and I look at her and I think, dude, I mean, I didn't even know you 6 weeks ago. And I hope that I can always make you happy, I suppose. And that realization that maybe I won't always be able to protect her is quite scary and overwhelming and amazing all at once. And so how am I coping? Not very well, I'm joking. No, that kind of over...
You look really emotional as you're saying.
Sorry,
you kept it together the whole interview.
I was like, oh yes,
I just want to protect her.
No, I had this, like, I looked at her and she's doing these little giggles in her sleep and I'm like, dude, I'm absolutely in love. And yeah, that kind of sense that, wow, right now, I can protect you from anything and everything, and I can give you some milk and you smile and you giggle and you go to sleep. And that feels so beautifully perfect. And in a way, I would quite like if we could just press pause. But apparently teenagers are fun too. So
that's
let's
what
see how that goes.
Yeah. So there we go. There we go. Yeah. I honestly can't believe we've got to the end of the episode.
I know, that was quick.
I have so many other things I would talk to you about. Like the fact that you were here and your family were in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, there was just so much. Sleep. We didn't talk about sleep.
No.
Didn't even talk about that.
That's fine.
There were so many things.
Yeah, dude, we'll do it again.
I mean, it's
a dream.
I mean, not everything has to be recorded.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
Perfect.
Angela, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of your precious time.
Thank you.